So does it matter? I want to know who in your life, I want you to think about this visually or think back to the past of who might have spoke into your life and encouraged you about Jesus Christ. You got that picture in your mind? Maybe there are several people that you could pull up in your mind that would help you grow in your faith in Jesus Christ. I know for me, I could name several names, and I probably wouldn't get every one of them. But as Brother David said last week, we're going to be in the book of Romans. And if you was here last week, last Sunday night, the gentleman that preached here took some of my text, and I thought, well, good, I'll get to move on. I'll preach something different on down the line. But Brother David said, no, you'll preach it different. Besides that, he didn't cover everything that was there. So you get to hear Romans chapter 1, verse 8 through 17 today. Will you stand with me to read God's Word? Paul writes in chapter 1, verse 8, he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because the news of your faith is being reported in all the world. God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit and telling the good news about his Son, that I constantly mention you, always asking in my prayers that if it is somehow in God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I want very much to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, to be mutually encouraged each other's faith, both yours and mine. Now, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I often planned to come to you, but was prevented until now, in order that I might have a fruitful ministry among you, just as I have had among the rest of the Gentiles. I am obligated both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I just come to you just thanking you for your word. And Father, I thank you for Paul's obedience to go where you told him to go. And Father, to write encouraging words to people of faith. And Father, even though he had not ever met these people, Father, he had a great concern for them. And he was encouraged about them. And Father, I just pray that you would just help us as we look at this passage of Scripture to be encouraged about our faith. And Father, the people's faith around the world that we get to encounter, Father God, as we go. Father, that we would pray for those people that we know that maybe we've never met them. But Father, we just get to hear about the people in China and the people in Africa and the people all around the world coming to faith in Jesus Christ, and that we would pray for them. And Father, I just pray, Lord God, that you would just guide and direct us today. And Father, just open our minds and open our hearts to your word. And Father, if we need to be encouraged, I pray that that's what it would be. Father, if we need to be led to make a decision for you, I pray that is what it would happen. And Father, if we need to be convicted of our sins, I pray for that, Father God. But Father, most of all, I pray that we would lift up Jesus Christ and give him glory, honor, and praise. And Father, that we would do that in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, as I was studying this passage of Scripture, one of the things that come to my mind, he says, as I come to you in spirit, as I serve you in spirit. So I'm going to ask you this morning, did you come in here physically having to make yourself come and drag yourself to church, or was you ready to come and you just couldn't wait to get here and hear those wonderful songs that we sung and they brought joy to your heart? You know, that's the way we need to come to church, people. I'm telling you, church, that if we don't come with a joyful heart and we're dragging ourselves here, then we're not coming in the Spirit of the Lord. And I'm telling you that it's not about us being present. It's about us just praying for one another and encouraging. That's why we come here. That's the reason we gather together. The Lord commanded His church to gather together and to study His Word. But He also commanded us to go. And Paul was all about going. That's one of the reasons I like Paul so well, because he was always on the go. He was always trying to do more. He wanted to do more, but he done it in spirit. He didn't do it any other way. You know, as I was studying for this and listened to John MacArthur a whole lot. Sometimes John says, if you don't do it by the Spirit, you might as well not have done it at all. And I have, personally, sometimes I have to look at my life and I think, well, I've done a lot of things under my physical just grit of being there. And that's not the way God wanted it. So we started out looking at people that we are thankful for, and Paul is really thankful for these Roman people. He's never been there, wants to go there really bad, but he says, through Jesus Christ for y'all, because of the news of your faith, is being reported around the world. You know, when I started preaching, I always knew of Hillcrest Baptist Church. And, you know, I pastored at Elm Grove for the first 5 years of my ministry, and got to know people at Hillcrest Baptist Church. And you guys have always had a good reputation. Now, I'm not plumb around the world, but guys, think about where you go. The people that you are in contact with in Cuba and in Africa, and the people that we've sent to Africa, and the people that we've sent to South America. But guys, our faith is being spread around the world, and that's the kind of people, that's the reason they were doing what they were doing. That's the reason Paul could be thankful, because he was hearing the news of their faith, of people being reported. There's three things I want to come across, and the first one is he says, I am obligated. And so as I preach this message, I want you to think, why are you obligated? And I want to tell you why Paul was obligated, but each and every one of you are obligated as well. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, if you've been saved, then you're obligated just like Paul was. And you may not think so, but I'm telling you it's true, because Paul said it. And all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking and training in righteousness. So you're going to fit in one of those areas, I guarantee it. I do. I've been trained this week a little bit. I've had to refocus some of my life. But he was obligated, number one, because in John 13, 34 and 35, it says, a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another. He was obligated because they were believers. He was obligated because he needed to write this letter. He was obligated because he had heard and he knew that they were brothers and sisters in Christ in Rome. Now think about that. That's the ruling part. That's the ruling country. They had conquered the Jews. They were in control. And that was going to be a hard place to serve Jesus Christ. Okay? He was obligated because of his love. Because Jesus commanded us to love one another. And he's commanded you to love other Christians around the world. And that's the reason I believe it's such a neat thing, the way God puts people in our lives. Because you can love people that I don't even know. It's the reason we work in different places. That's the reason we have different hobbies and opportunities to have fun. But we are obligated to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Paul knew that. Paul had read the book of John, or heard about the book of John, or heard what John wrote, or what Jesus said. Maybe he couldn't read it physically, but he had heard about it. So that's the first thing that I come to my mind. He was obligated because of his love for Jesus Christ. The second thing is because of what God told Paul. Now, Paul had a different way of, his life was laid out before him. You know, he persecuted the Jews, persecuted Christians, Let me rephrase that. He was a Jew that persecuted Christians. But in Acts chapter 9, he had a transformation. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And Jesus told Ananias, the guy that was sent there, what he was obligated to do. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 9, we'll read that really quick. Just so you'll know. This is one of my favorite passages. In Acts chapter 9, verse 10, it says, "There was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias.' 'Here I am, Lord,' he replied. 'Get up and go to the street called Straight,' the Lord said to him, 'to the house of Judas, and ask for a man of Tarsus named Saul, since he is praying there. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and placing his hands on him so that he may regain his sight.' Lord, Ananias answered, 'I have heard from many people about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has the authority here from the chief priests to arrest all who call upon your name.' And the Lord said to him, 'Go, for this man is a chosen instrument to take my name to the Gentiles, kings of Israel, kings and Israelites, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.'" And guys, I'm going to stop right there just so you will concentrate on that. But I want you to think about Ananias' message to Saul. Have you ever had anybody come to you and tell you about what happened to you? And that God sent somebody to encourage you personally? Now, I've had people come to me. They haven't spoke a prophecy like that in my life, but they... But God has spoken that a prophecy into each one of our lives that we're all to go. We're all to go and make disciples. But he actually tells Paul here where he's going to go and who he's going to talk to and how it's going to happen. Because of what the Lord told him, I believe Paul was obligated to go to Rome, to the rulers of their country. And he really planned, he went a whole different way than he had planned on going, I'll tell you that. He was arrested in Jerusalem. If you remember right, he was arrested there and he went under arrest to Rome. But he was obligated because of what God told him. And I feel like that we are obligated as well because of what God has shared with us, because our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He took your place. He did that without even thinking twice about it. He prayed in the garden, "Lord, not my will be done, but yours." I deserved that punishment. I deserved that death. Jesus didn't deserve it. Jesus never done anything wrong. But he took it for me. He took it for you. Makes me obligated to go and to share the gospel. Another thing, I think the last thing under that point was because of the testimony that was out there. He was obligated to go because of the testimony that preceded them. It says in Romans 1:8, it says, "First, I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all because of the news of your faith is being reported all the world, in all the world." He was obligated to go because God had gave him Scripture to tell people, to encourage people. He was obligated to go because God had spoken to him. But he was hindered, the Bible says. Have you ever been hindered from your plans? I was hindered last week. I don't know if it was a God thing or if it was just something that happened or whatever, but I was hindered. You know, I was driving down the road the other day and this couple had a flat tire sitting beside the road, and you never know. So I stopped. It looked like they was having trouble, and at first I just thought it was a lady and her kids. I see kids in the van. But her husband was down there working on the tire, and they were being hindered. They had adopted a little girl from China, and they was trying to get her social security number all fixed up. It was all messed up. And I stopped and helped them with their tire, and they went on their way. They thanked me a whole lot, but guys, you never know what's going to happen and who you're going to meet. They were from Mansfield. They were not traveling a short distance. Why they were going to Lebanon to the Social Security office, maybe that's the closest one. I don't know. Maybe that's where they filed their paperwork. I don't know how all that works. Don't even matter. But let me tell you something. They were being hindered, and they had appointments to make. But Paul was hindered because of the things that he was doing for God, but also because of things that Satan was putting in his way. And it was both directions. But he was obligated to those people because they were believers and because of his love and because what God had shared with him. And I believe we fall in that category that we are obligated as well because of what our Savior done for us, because of what he told each and every believer to do, go make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We are obligated. The second thing that Paul said in this passage of Scripture, he said, I am eager. I don't know about you. I may be obligated, but sometimes I'm not very eager. I wish I was eager as much as I was obligated. Because I can see my obligation because of what Jesus done for me, but the eagerness sometimes is not there. Think of some of the hard things that you do in your life. Are you eager to do them? I believe Paul was pretty eager. I believe Paul was eager, number one, because his plan had failed. Does that ever make you even try harder? When you want to do something that you wanted to do and you're going to do it. You're going to press through. You know, I've had to do that when we go to Africa. I was eager to come home one time. Me and Marianne and Wendy was in Africa. And I'd been there. It was actually my second trip, I think it was. And they told us that we didn't have flights, that we couldn't get on for another couple of days. We had tickets to be on that flight, but they was telling us that we didn't. Marianne, she was very persistent. She took us to her little place by ourselves. She told me and Wendy to pray, and she went and talked to the people, and she called the United States to get our stuff straightened out. And you know what? We got to come home. We were all eager to get home. But guys, are we eager to go? Are we eager to fulfill what God has a plan for us to do? Paul was eager because his plans had failed. He wanted to go. He wanted to meet with these people. He wanted to see their faith. He wanted a relationship with them one-on-one. He wanted to build them up, and he wanted them to build him up. He wanted mutual encouragement. He wanted to impart a spiritual gift to them. And I don't think there's anything that Paul imparted to them except spiritual encouragement in their faith as they walked in a very hard place. That's what we continue to do as we go to Africa. We're just there to give them encouragement, to help them along the way. Guys, they've got the same spirit I've got, and they can preach and they can teach if they know what they need to do and as they listen, as they learn. But we can be there to encourage them. Same way with Paul going to Cuba, even though he uses sports to do that. Guys, I'm telling you, there's the same thing going on. But Paul was eager because his plans had failed. Because he knew that was in God's plans for him to go. Paul also was eager because he knew the power of the gospel. And I wanted to write that in great big words. He knew the power of the gospel. He knew what he used to be, and he knew the change that God had implemented in his life. And he knew that there was going to be a whole bunch of people in Rome come to Jesus Christ and to be able to serve him and to witness and to tell other people about what God had done in his life. And what God had done in their lives. You know, you can win more people by your testimony than by mine anytime. So tell them how God changed your life. Tell them what God has done in your life. Don't tell them about how good a preacher you have at Hillcrest Baptist Church. You tell them, you can talk about that a little bit if you want to, but I'm just saying, your witness is a whole lot better than my testimony, okay? Paul wants to use you. With the people that you know. He wants to use you. You're the important one in those people's lives. And he was eager because he knew that they would encourage him and he would get built up. I love going to Africa and seeing the enthusiasm of those people. And I ain't never been to Cuba. I'd like to go to Cuba. I'd like to go to China. You know, but I don't know what God's got planned for me. But I'll tell you this. He has a plan for all of us to go. And you may never go across the sea. I didn't know that I'd ever do that. I didn't know that I'd ever accomplish being in full-time ministry either. I never thought I'd be a youth pastor. Not in my line of sight at all. Okay? And I'm not, I love every one of my, the students that come. I love them to death. But I never saw that in my ministry. Okay? So you never know. But I'm eager to see people saved. And that's where Paul was at. He was eager because he knew the power of God. Do you know the power of God? Yeah, I know the power of God. That's the way we act sometimes. You know, Joe told me on Easter Sunday, he said, well, you got a little wound up today. Well, I get pretty wound up sometimes when I get to talk about Jesus. Because Jesus changed my life. He gave me direction. Direction I'd never had before when I began to listen. I was hard of hearing for a really long time. Matter of fact, I was kind of deaf. And he uses and he still uses things to get my attention in this world. But Paul was eager. My last point under number two, he was just eager to preach. You know, he wanted to preach the gospel. And not all of us as preachers, but Paul was a preacher, and I believe he wanted to preach to every nation, tribe, tongue, language, and all that that Revelation talks about. I believe that was his goal, to touch as many lives as he possibly could for the gospel of, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In his life, day in, day out, he stayed focused. And I'm not saying he didn't have trouble, guys, but think about it. When he was changed to two Roman guards, when he was sitting in prison in his house, and those people had to guard him, he was telling those people about Jesus. He wasn't saying, woe is me, I'm in jail. Don't you feel sorry for me? Pray for me to get out. I never read that in Scripture. Now, they probably did pray, but he didn't request it that he would get out. Because he knew what he was doing. He was preaching the gospel, even if it was one-on-one with those Roman guards that had to be there. And sometimes we have to go to work and we feel like we're in prison. But let me tell you something. You've got people around you that need Jesus. You've got people around you that need Jesus. Whether we go to school, whether we go to work. I wish I'd have caught that vision when I was in school. Unfortunately, I was too hard-headed. And to death, to see or to hear those things. I'll come back to this. But he done all that in the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit. You know, every time I preach, every time, right before I get up here, the day before, the week before, I ask to be filled with the Spirit. Lord, fill me with the Spirit. As I think about it, I don't really do that when I know I'm going to witness to somebody. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Sometimes I try to do that under my power because I don't really want to mention my Lord and Savior. And I'm a pastor. I ought to love to talk about Jesus, and I do. After the first words get out, it just comes. Boom. It's good after I get the first words. You know, it's just like, you know, God says, you take the first step. We're afraid to take the first step sometimes. I can remember walking the aisle when I was 10 years old. I don't remember the other 25 it took to get to me to the front of the church because I said, I was a back row Baptist, still kind of like the back. As you can see, that's where my family sits, toward the back. I don't remember them other steps. I remember how hard it was to get out of that pew and walk the first one. But after the first one, I was eager. After the first words, I'm pretty eager to tell them about Jesus. Because I've breached that thing in my life where it says, oh, you don't want to do this. And that's Satan. See, he has that little voice there telling you that you're going to be rejected. How do you know that you're going to be rejected? The third point I have is, I am not ashamed. I went through these pretty quickly. I am not ashamed. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Let me reread that to you. It says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. You know, as I contemplated that, as I thought about that, why would Paul say that? Everybody knew that he wasn't ashamed. He lived his life that way. He spoke to people. He preached the word. He corrected people. He was willing to do whatever it took to bring people to a closer relationship with Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 and 21, it says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. Think about that for a minute. Think about that for a minute. See, you're an ambassador. I'm an ambassador. And everybody out there in this world is under this same thing. We're all under the curse of sin. Every one of us. See, Paul knew Jeremiah 17, verse 9, where it says that the heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand that? As you think about the people that you work around, think about those people. Think about their hearts. Think about where they're at. Let me read that to you again. It says that, in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, it says, the heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it? I want you to put that under somebody's name that you know. And see, Paul understood that these Roman people, their hearts had been changed. Their hearts had been changed, and actually it had been changed in Ezekiel 36, 20, 26 and 27. This is what had been changed to you. It says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes carefully and observe my ordinances. See, Paul was unashamed because he knew the power of God to change people's lives. We cannot change ourselves, folks. We can't do it. We can say, well, I'll wait till I get a little better. It's not about waiting until you get a little better. It's just about realizing that you're not going to be able to do it at all by yourself. You're incurable. Who can understand it? We don't understand why we do the things that we do in the flesh. And I'm telling you that the only way we can do it is to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And He will give us a new heart. He will change our ways. He'll make us want to follow Him and follow the ordinances that He has put forth. 1 John says, chapter 2 says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If we love Him, we'll do what He's asked us to do. And if we're doing it in love for Jesus Christ, we'll do it in the Spirit, not in the flesh. So my question this morning, are you doing it in spirit? Are you living your Christian life day by day, moment by moment, hour by hour? Are you doing that in the Spirit? Or are you like me and have to do it sometimes and realize that I'm not doing it in the Spirit and have to ask for God to help me, fill me with your Spirit, help me to do this with the in the Spirit like Paul done these people. Guys, I'm telling you, he was proud of these people. He wasn't above these people. He wasn't below these people. He's on the same level with these people. Paul is just saying, look, I want to come to you because I want to be encouraged by you, and your faith is known around the world because of the change that Jesus Christ has put in your life. They were dedicated to Jesus Christ. And because of that, Paul was unashamed of the gospel. He's been unashamed from the very beginning. He's been unashamed from the very beginning. Ever since he started walking with Christ, he's been unashamed of the gospel. I can't say that about my life. I don't know what your testimony is. But sometimes I didn't live like I was unashamed. Sometimes I lived my life like I was ashamed of the gospel. Now today, because of the power of God, because of prayer, because of people praying for me, and you never know who's praying for you. Let me just stick that in there. These people didn't know who Paul was. And yet he said, I've been praying for you. The other side of the world, and people's praying for you. People are praying for you. People pray for Hillcrest Baptist Church around the world. In Africa especially, probably in Cuba. Believers there are thankful that we are reaching out and trying to help, but they're praying for us. Paul had no doubt what Jesus had called him to do. Because of that meeting with Christ, he said that he was born out of due time, or he was, I can't remember the exact words in Acts chapter 9, but or in Philippians, I think it is, but he says that he didn't see Christ like the other disciples saw him, but he saw Jesus. And because of that, he had no doubt at what Jesus had called him to do. And I have no doubt about what I am called to do. Sometimes I wish I could sing better, and people around me wish I could sing better too, Keith. My family even tried to get me to hush occasionally. But there's no doubt what Jesus called me to do. I don't doubt my calling, but it's not up to you. I shouldn't ask for your opinion about whether I should preach or not. Because you're not me. And you don't have the same relationship with God that I have. Maybe you're further along down the line. I hope you are. Because I still have a hard time hearing sometimes. I don't like to admit that, but it's just the truth. But everyone mattered to Paul. Everyone mattered to Paul. That video that I showed at the beginning, you may not even know them, but they mattered to Jesus. There's somebody that he died for. There's somebody that he took the punishment for. And you may be the one that gets to show them the gift of God. The good news. The good news. See, we love to tell good news, don't we? We love to tell the good news. The first thing I said this morning when I got up here is how good the children's home thing was. It was funny. Clay Cooper, that guy's, he's better than the comedian they had there yesterday, I think. Okay? But I'm just telling you, we love to tell people the good news. Well, let me tell you something. We've got so in America... This is just my estimation of it, so don't take it for the gospel. But in my estimation of things, we've got so saturated and so that everybody knows, because there's churches all over this land. There's churches all over this land. But I'm telling you, there's people here that don't know about the love of Jesus Christ. I talked to one just this week, a couple of weeks ago. Made a big impact. I told the youth. They kind of got on to me. I'll tell you the story. But I was driving by, and I knew this place had new people in it, just in our neighborhood here. I was driving to church, and the Lord said, "Stop and talk to them." And I was supposed to meet somebody here. And I mean, I wasn't giving myself no more time than I absolutely needed. I was going to get here about the same time they did, or not, just a little after. And I said, "Lord, I can. I've got somebody to meet at church. I know he's a believer. we was going to pray. We was going to do something really important. I said, no. And there's only one of me. You're supposed to go in twos, Lord. Sabrina said, you didn't do what the Lord told you to do. She's right. I didn't. Kind of made me sad that she realized that. But, so I got here in the parking lot, and I was meeting Chuck. I said, Chuck, we got to go do something. And Chuck just got in the truck and he went with me. You know, that guy was sitting out on the front porch when I went there. When I drove by there. He wasn't sitting out on the front porch when I went there. Me and Chuck got back. He'd already went inside. First thing I thought to my mind was, what if he don't come to the door? You ever do that? He did answer the door, and him and his wife both came out. She don't believe in anything. Or she believes in everything. She said, I believe there could be God in everything. Or maybe there's no God at all. She don't know what she believes. He said, well, my mom was Buddhist and my dad was a Christian. And I kind of follow Buddhism. Kind of. He's not dedicated to it. That's good to hear. So me and Chuck was able to do, can we talk with this young man? His wife left in the middle of the conversation, went back in. Guys, the reason I tell you that is because God loves that guy. God loves that little gal who don't even know what they're up against. So Satan's got them so blinded and so deaf that they don't know what they believe. And I tell you that because I was disobedient. I was obedient a little later. Sabrina said that didn't matter. God still needed to discipline me, and He did. Let me tell you something. I don't know about your life, but I want to live my life that I'm unashamed of the gospel. I want to be eager to share the gift of God with other people. And I don't care what you say, you are obligated. Because Jesus died on the cross for your sins and He gave you the Holy Spirit to live in your life. And you have no reason not to serve God in the capacity He's called you to do, because He has gifted you with what you have. So you better get to using it, because He's going to hold you accountable one day. And I don't know about you, but I'm a whole lot more scared and fearful of my God who created this world and spoke it into being than I ever am of Satan. But Satan uses tactics, folks. Wait till later. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. No, it won't be all right, because you might miss the opportunity. You might miss the opportunity. So I want to live my life unashamed, but I want to live it in the Spirit. And what I mean by that, when the Spirit of God speaks to you in that small, still voice, when He speaks to you in that small, still voice, are you listening? Because He ain't going to yell and scream, even though when you get close enough to Him, I think the Spirit of God in me can jump up and down and yell and scream and talk to me like my mom and dad used to do. And my dad was, he liked to be really loud. Okay? And I'm probably guilty. I think I'm a product of him, so I think I was really loud. And about halfway through my teenage kids' years, I think I got to the point where, okay, I've got to talk to these kids because they ain't listening to this yelling and screaming. And that's the way God is. God is not going to make you listen, but He desires for you to do what you've been called to do, and you'll feel more fulfilled doing what God has called you to do than you'll ever be fulfilled doing what the flesh wants you to do. Listen to this. There's a story told of General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, and the day Queen Victoria of England asked to meet with him because she heard so many favorable things about his work in the slums. So she asked him for the secret of his success. And he said, Your Majesty, He replied, some men have a passion for money. Some people have a passion for things. I have a passion for people. Folks, church, do we have a passion for people? Because I truly believe that's what God's passion is for. He created all the wealth in the world. He created all the things that we have in this world. As I was watching a TV deal the other day, or actually maybe it was the youth. I think it was a discussion we had up in the youth. And somebody said, well, we don't create anything that God hasn't already made, because the things we make is out of the things that God has created. That's pretty good. It took me nearly 30 years to figure that out. They've got it at 15 and 16. I like that. They're listening even more than you think when they're not even listening, I think. Praise God. They get it. They can multitask and I can't. I can't look at my phone and listen to you at the same time. I'm looking at my phone. You better repeat yourself, okay? But you don't want to tell these kids something and while they're looking at their phone, because they'll embarrass the crap out of you because they listened. I'd rather them not use their phone in class, though, and I make that known. But I'm just saying, what are you multitasking with in your life with God? Are you listening? Because I believe He's wanting to talk. We do a whole lot of praying, but there's a time to listen in prayer. There's a time to listen while you read His Word. I get encouragement. I get instruction. I get in trouble when I read His Word. I feel conviction. I hope you do all that. And sometimes He uses people to help that process along. I'll pick on Rod just a little bit. He's one of the guys that He's used in my life to give me some instruction. And it's probably been vice versa. I've been told that a couple of times. But Rod, I've known him for a long time. We went to two separate churches for a really long time, but God used him in a time of my life when I should have been listening. And the way He puts things sometimes. I can just hear God through sometimes. But so much of the time we let our desires, our wants, and our time schedule get in the way. Will you listen this morning? Maybe you're here and you're lost. Maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ at all. Maybe you don't know whether you go to heaven. You know, I don't know what your situation is. If you need to know, the Bible says there ain't a sinner's prayer in the Bible. Okay? But Jesus says that all who believe, I believe it's a good starting point. I was led in a prayer when I was 10 years old. But if you don't know for sure, maybe you're here this morning and you know you've been coming here for quite a little while, but you've never confessed Jesus Christ. You know that you're born again, but you've never confessed Him as your Lord and Savior. You've never been baptized. Guys, I'm telling you, Jesus told us to be saved and to be baptized. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We should want to follow our Lord in baptism. If you've never been baptized, then that's something you need to do. Is the Lord speaking to you today? Or maybe you're here and you've been saved and you've been baptized, but you should join this church, this body of believers, and so you can be held accountable, so you can get involved in ministry. I don't know what your situation is. But as Mr. Keith comes, I'm going to pray. I just want you to listen. I just want you to listen. Okay? Because the Holy Spirit may be speaking to you today. Maybe you need to get involved in one of the ministries that we're in. Maybe you need to come and pray about what to do. Or maybe you need to start a ministry, like going to Africa, to Cuba. Maybe God's laid something on your heart like Christina in Bolivia. I don't know what it is, but if God's speaking to you, that's what these altars are for. Do you have to come to the altar to pray to God? No. But if He asks you to, I believe it's a good thing to do because that just shows your obedience. Maybe it's just vacation Bible school that you need to be involved in and you've not done that. I don't know what it is, but let's pray. Listen to the Holy Spirit in your life. Father in heaven, we just thank You for this day. And Father, we just thank You for Your Word. Father, I thank You for Paul feeling obligated to be a servant of Yours. And Father, that he was eager and he was unashamed. And Father, I just pray, Lord God, that if You're speaking to anyone's heart here today, Father, whatever the situation may be, I pray that they would be able to act upon that. Father, I pray that they would be able to come and to just confess to You and to this congregation, Father, that they're doing what You've asked them to do. Father, I just pray, Jesus, that You would just guide and direct and just help us this day to be eager to listen. And Father, that we would be all about people, not things, not money, but just about people. I pray that that would be our passion because that's Your passion because You died on the cross for their sins. And Father, You gave us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us so we can do everything in spirit and in truth. And Father, I just pray that You would just help people to come to the altar if that's what they need to do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.